Good morning. Today, Jesus isn't very affirming of Peter, is he? He wasn't nice to him at all. He didn't even, you know, Peter at least took Jesus aside. But you notice what Jesus does? He rebukes him in front of everybody. And then he calls him Satan. Nice. Get behind me, Satan. And then his line is what? You think as man and not as God. And so often we get that same mindset. We want to look at the church, we want to look at Jesus, we want to look at the world, we want to look at everything through the mind of the man instead of through the mind of God. We want everything to be given to us, we want God to be gentle with us, we want everything to be nice, just give me what I want, love me the way I want to be loved, and that's it. But that's not the gospel. Because here Jesus, after he rebukes him in front, he embarrasses the heck out of him. Could you imagine, again, if I was to do that to one of you, and I think I have once or twice, don't everybody talk about it? Can you imagine, Father? It would be really bad. It would give you something to talk about all week or a couple weeks, you know, however long that lasts when you're talking about me, because I did something stupid. But here Jesus does it on purpose. And then after that, he gives a teaching to them. He says, no one can be my follower unless he what? Denies himself, picks up his cross, and follows in my footsteps. And then he says, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will find it. So that's an altogether different way of looking at life, huh? It's about giving your life away. It's about dying. It's about denying yourself, huh? And then if you listen to the second reading today from James, he's sitting there and he's arguing with people that sit there and say, all you got to do is believe. And to do that, you know, people take, the fight has always been, what do you have to have, faith or works? Protestants have always focused on faith. Catholics have also always focused on? No. Faith and works. Not just the other, huh? You need both. You know, once I got into an argument, can you imagine me arguing with somebody? But they were trying to get one of my kids, so I was his confirmation sponsor. And this guy owned a restaurant here. He doesn't own it anymore. But anyway, he was trying to save this kid who was Catholic, and I was his sponsor, from the whore of Babylon, the Catholic Church. He was trying to save this kid. And he says to this kid again and again, the only thing you got to do is believe in Jesus and you're going to be fine. And I looked at that kid and I said, that's a lie. And so I'm arguing with the guy and I said, so you believe that you can walk into Burger King or McDonald's, whatever, pull out a machine gun, blow everybody away, boom, 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 boom. Take that gun, blow your brains out, and you're going right to heaven? Absolutely, he says. Because my salvation is in Jesus Christ, it's not in me. I said, that's a lie from the darkest pit of hell. Your salvation is in Christ Jesus. We all believe we're saved by grace, free gift of God. But you prove that you're saved by grace by what you do. And that's what James is talking about. These people that believe that, hey, all I have to do is believe and that's okay, going to be quite surprised, because that's not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say today, just believe in me and you're going to be fine. When people sit there and use the thing about, have you accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior? What's that mean? That's what you need to be, is saved, right? Is that true? No. Because when someone asked Jesus, you must be born again. What did Jesus say to be born again? You have to accept Jesus, me as your Lord and Savior. Is that what he said? No, he said what? No one can enter the kingdom of heaven, John chapter 3, verse 5. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again. How can a man be born again, says Nicodemus? He says you must be born of water and the Spirit. You got to be baptized. That's what Christ said. So when we come to argue about the points of religion, let's not talk about the theologians later who said arguing. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus said, you can't be my follower unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow in my steps every day. That's what he said. So how do we make this practical? How do we deny ourselves? Again, I told you not too long ago, when I was at Christ the King Seminary, when I was going to try to find a place that I was going to go to major seminary, my soon-to-be spirits director, who I'd pick up there, her name was Sister Joan Wagner. And Sister Joan, I'll never forget in class, she's sitting there and we're in the spirituality class, and she was talking about Jesus, and she says, you know, when Jesus says deny your very self, he says you need to deny your own thoughts even. And she says, so the goal in one of your life, of in the spiritual life, is the first thing when you do wake up in the morning, you'll be thinking about Jesus instead of thinking about yourself, or thinking about how early it is, or thinking about what you got to do today, or thinking about all the trials that are going to come to you that day. Because if you start the day thinking about self, you're going to end the day thinking about self. The whole day will be focused on the self. But Jesus says, deny the self. So how do you do that? And I sat there and I thought, Dan, how could anybody wake up and the first thing you think about is Jesus Christ? How is that even possible? And then I found out how it's possible. And I've told you a thousand times. How is it possible to make God the last thing you think about and the first thing you think about? What practical thing can you do? No Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. So what do? Yeah. Just like mommy. Hi. Sorry. That's your child. Anyway, so that happened to me before. Anyway. Give him a sucker, would you? The way you do it is you keep your Bible next to your bed. And so the very last thing you do is before you go to bed, because your Bible's right there, the last thing you do is you pick up that word and you read from it. Go to sleep. Now you've all for 8 hours, you're meditating on what God said to you. Practice first thing you wake up in the morning. The Bible's right next to you. It's right on your nightstand. Pull it out. Look at it. First thing that happens, God's speaking to you. You end your day with God, you begin your day with God. You begin your day with God, you end your day with God. You're denying yourself for God. Very practical. Bible next to your bedstand. So interesting, because I've talked about this before. If I was to sit there and not let you go home, but I beat you home, I get to your house, I run into your bedroom, and I look. Wonder how many Bibles would be next to your bed right there. Some of you, I'll bet you it would happen. But I'll bet you 90% would not. And you'd go, oh, I hate you, Father. Why do you? You use guilt a lot, Father. Hey, whatever works is what I say. Anyway, so you got to deny yourself. And it begins with your morning and the way you begin your morning and the way you end your day with the Word of God. The second thing, to deny, pick up your cross, means a couple things. The first thing it means is the crosses that come in your life, you accept them. And when you accept the cross, what do you do with it? You carry it, but then you also, those of you who are older, you are taught to do this when something bad happened. Offer it up. You offer it up and you unite yourself with Christ on the cross. So something bad happens to you. You got a headache. You got a toothache. Someone said something bad about you. Someone hurt your feelings. What do? Offer it up. Lord, I unite this with your suffering on the cross. And I unite my suffering, your suffering. And when you and I unite our suffering with Christ's suffering, what do? Remember what Paul said? It was just this week in the readings. We fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Now again, how can there be anything lacking in the suffering of Christ? There isn't. What happens is Christ unites himself with us. You know, again, as long as one person in the world who's a Christian suffers, Christ is always on that cross, is he not? Remember when Paul was persecuting Christ, or persecuting Christians? When Jesus appeared to him, what did he say? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Because whatever happens to one of his followers happens to Christ. So when we unite our sufferings, the pains of life that come towards us, the sicknesses, the hurts, and we unite them with Christ, we pick up our cross with him, and we become one with him on the cross. And then finally, we got to follow in his footsteps. And the follow in the footsteps of Christ, the opening prayer talked about it. Christ was a servant. He gave every day, he gave his life away. If we're going to truly be his followers, we just can't say, Jesus is my Savior. Yes, he is. We got to live it. And the way we live it is we sit there and we give away our life for others. So again, I make it practical. every day to sit there and think that I commit one unselfish act for another human being today. And an unselfish act means that you don't get anything back from it. You don't sit there and help them out, and now they owe me, now they're going to help me out. If you help someone out with the hope that they're going to help you back, that was not an unselfish act. That was a selfish act. You're planning on for future times. An unselfish act is an act where you do it with no expectation of return. Christ went to the cross and died for you and me, even when we didn't even know him or give anything back to him. So, when it comes to Christ, we are saved by grace. But that grace must be lived through our faith in Christ and the way we live, our works. And we make that explicit by the words of Jesus himself. No one can be my disciple unless he denies his wealth, picks up his cross, and follows in my steps. I gave you 3 ways to do it. Hopefully you will. Make sure you know his love, today and forever. Amen. Let us now stand and profess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and of earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God.